Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Bitch Slap. I'm Rachel.
I'm Desi. Can we just do our first names on this one?
I'm Rachel Fisher.
I'm Desi Jenikin.
And this is Season 3, Episode 2.
It's a bad world after all.
We start with a cold open of Sydney in jail. She's being questioned.
She's in her jailhouse blues.
This is, again, we're back on the music video set.
Yeah.
And she is like, you gotta believe me. Yeah, I thought about killing him.
Yeah.
But I didn't. And it was only after Kimberly talked me into it. And she's like, look, you know I'm innocent because I waived my rights to an attorney.
And we're all like, Sydney.
Sydney.
Come on.
Sydney. That's a bad idea. You never talk to the police without an attorney.
No.
Ever.
No. This is dumb.
So she's begging these cops to understand. And they are not buying it. And she is like, getting more and more worked up. And she's like, it's her. I'm the victim here. She's crazy.
Yeah. And they're like, you're crazy. They're not saying it, but we know what they're thinking.
I mean, this was a pretty perfect plan, even though we did comment that, like, what if somebody saw Kimberly planting this wig? But Kimberly, Sydney's a perfect target.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Kimberly is a doctor. They're just unimpeachable. If you're a doctor, people believe you.
She's trustworthy because she's a doctor and she's the current fiance of Michael Mancini. But to everyone else, to the entire world, Sydney is an irritating fuck up.
Yes.
So, yes.
She's a ne'er-do-well.
Right. We cut to the credits. So this is like season three. We're doing cold opens.
Yeah. That's a new thing.
It's a new thing for Melrose Place. At D&D...
But can we just talk for 1 second?
Yes.
The very long intro...
Okay.
Before we get to D&D was like 4 minutes of like montage of LA with like a ZZ Top type song playing. All I remember, there was one part of the song that was like... Duh, duh. Like it sounded like Sharp Dressed Man or something, but it was not. This is where I need someone to come and tell me what the real song was.
That probably was because this is just like the score music.
It was a song though. It was with lyrics.
Oh, there was lyrics.
Yeah.
You're right. I think it was like a... I think it was the real song because it sounded old.
But why was this intro so long?
I was wondering the same thing, and I was wondering if it was just me running short on time today watching this episode and being like, hurry up.
No, it was, first of all, they don't really do this as much as they used to.
Yeah.
When they're like, we're in LA. And this was like, we got the girls roller skating in bikinis on the beach. We got Melrose Avenue. Like they were taking us all the way through LA.
We got Beverly Hills.
Yeah. And then we end up at the D&D building.
Yeah.
It was very weird.
It was, okay, you're right. That was for sure giving season one Melrose Place.
Absolutely.
With like the shots of denim asses on Melrose Ave.
I could even let it slide for episode one of season three, but this is episode two. We know where we are.
We're in Melrose Place.
Yes.
So we go to D&D, and Bruce wants to talk to Amanda. he lets Amanda know that Escapade Magazine is looking for a new ad agency. And we haven't heard from Escapade in quite a few episodes.
Right, because I was like, is that the magazine where Billy works? Yeah. Like, I had to remind myself. Luckily, yeah. They reminded me for me.
I like to think that someone was listening to the Janet Jackson song
yeah.
when they decided to name the magazine Escapade.
Yes. Da, 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 da. That's such a good one.
Yeah. So Bruce is like, doesn't Allison's new husband work at Escapade? Because he's trying to get like an in to make sure, that like they'll want to hire them as their new ad agency. And Melon, be quiet.
We love this kind of moment, though, because it's Amanda's like, oh, well, funny you should mention that.
Amanda lives for these moments because she has a perfect excuse to blow up Allison's spot in this moment and to totally drag her. Yeah. Like, it's not unprompted. She can be like, well, funny you mention Allison, Bruce. Let me tell you what's going on. Her and Billy aren't exactly married, and they certainly aren't on their honeymoon. She's actually going through like a major crisis right now. But what do you need?
Yeah. And he's like, what?
Amanda's like, well, I am still friends with Allison's fiance, so I could talk to him. And Bruce is like, if you could get like some inside information about Escapade, that would be really cool. Like, cause that would like help us sell ourselves to them.
Yeah.
Cause this would be a really big get.
And Amanda's always happy to get back with Billy in some way, like to have a little repartee with him
or to have some excuse to like meet up with him.
Absolutely.
It's just business.
Yeah.
Allison calls Amanda. She's at the airport and she's on her way to Wisconsin to press charges against her dad.
Yeah. She like calls her from the payphone and she's like, I'm just available for work, after the scene we've just seen where Amanda's definitely low key behind her back.
Yeah.
And I also love Amanda when she's really helpful in this moment. And Allison's like, thank you, Amanda. And it's like, how are you this dumb? This is like the 10th time Amanda has been helpful at work and it never turns out good.
Right, where she's actually about to backstab you.
That's when she's her most helpful.
Yeah.
Right before she backstabs you.
Or she's doing something real shady behind your back.
Right, because then she could be like, I was trying to help. Well, Allison, maybe if you weren't pressing charges against your molester dad, you would have been here. Like, it's like... Like, that's coming.
Yeah, that's coming. She's going to throw it back in her face. Yeah. Well, sorry. We all have personal
problems.
Grow up,
Allison.
Yeah, she's like, you just focus on your family situation. We're fine over here. Yeah. We got everything handled.
It's really, nothing's happening at all.
Allison, think to yourself. Think critically. When was the last time you ever heard Amanda Woodward tell you to relax, take a few more days off?
The last time she betrayed you, that's when.
At the beach house, Michael arrives home with this big bandage on his head.
I love this staging, like, because it's very cartoon. It's like, let's just wrap his head with a bandage. He has amnesia.
Why? Did he have brain surgery?
Hit in the head with an anvil?
No. Like, why does he have a bandage on his head?
And it's like truly not professionally done.
No, it's just like, it looks like a headband.
It is like a Halloween costume.
It's like a mummy.
It's like someone just wrapped some gauze around and didn't even tie it together because one piece is hanging loose. Like, this is crazy.
Honestly, the whole thing looks
also
really
his
loose.
Hair is like not shaved at all. It's just a puffy Michael hair with a bandage. I'm sorry. Like,
that is a really good point. His head would be shaved to the bone.
If he had some surgery or injury where they had to get to it, he would not have his full head of hair with a bandage wrapped around it. And it's just puffy.
Yeah.
It's puffy on top where the bandage was tight.
Because if he... Yeah, it makes no sense. It makes
the bandage
no sense.
Is truly an afterthought. Like, someone in costume was like, throw a bandage on his head. Like, that was it. They did not have any rhyme or reason.
Because he has brain damage, but just didn't.
That way he looks like he has amnesia. So we won't forget. Oh, yeah, he has amnesia.
He doesn't remember Kimberly still, and she's acting all fake lovey-dovey. She's like, oh, Michael, the only thing you need to remember is that you love me. And yeah. I love you.
And he's, Michael's amnesia acting is so good. Cause he's just like, it's kind of still Michael, even though but he's like, okay. Like, he's like, I guess I believe you. But there's something about him that's still very Michael and sinister.
Well, he's still kind of skeezy.
Yes.
Like the skeeziness peeks through, even though he's decidedly more innocent because he doesn't remember how he feels about all of these bitches.
Well, because Michael, when he wasn't amnesia, acted that way too, when he was just trying to get out of trouble. So when we see him acting like he has amnesia, it just seems like him being a little clueless in his manipulation.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah. The ADA, the assistant district attorney, shows up at the beach house and wants to talk to Kimberly. And this ADA is like, Sidney Mancini has made some disturbing allegations against you. And she's like, oh, Sidney. That's Sidney.
Yeah.
You know, she's very jealous that Michael chose me. I have the ring. I'm his fiance. So she's had a lot of problems, that girl.
She's so fake in that. Like, I'm surprised the DA isn't more suspicious of her after this performance, because she's not. I feel like this was not a great job on Kimberly's part.
Is he new here? Does he know anything about manipulative people?
She's it's too much.
It's too over the top. Because imagine if this did happen and you were completely innocent and the ADA walked in and was like, this person who you were previously in a love triangle with is accusing you of trying to murder your fiance. You'd be like, oh my God. Like, you'd be mad.
Seriously?
You'd be frustrated.
I just wish she would stay out of my life. Like, it would be like, yeah. You wouldn't be like, oh, Sydney, poor thing.
Yeah.
Because she's trying too hard to be the perfect angel, right? Like,
yeah. But everyone believes Kimberly because she's hot and she's a doctor.
Absolutely.
So at the docks, in the next scene, we're at the docks.
Jake is wearing really baggy khakis that I believe he borrowed from Billy. Remember Billy's baggy khakis? Yeah. And he's wearing a tight black tank top. These khakis are bordering on parachute pants.
He honestly looks like how Zoomer is dressed today. He's with the little tight top and the big pants.
I was attracted to him.
He looked really cute.
I was like, he's hot. He's like, Jake is so fucking hot. When he comes onto a woman, I'm like, I wish it was me. Mm. Like, he's so cute.
He's so cute. And as soon as he gets onto his boat, Kathy Ireland, Brittany, she's like, hey. And he's like, think you should find a new place. I think it's time for you to go.
Yeah, she's still there.
She's irritating. And she's like still trying to be horny with him. She's like, can't you come hang out for a little bit? And he's like, you got to pack up your stuff. Move along now. And
not interested.
Yeah. And she kisses him and she's like, I just want to show you how grateful I am for you.
Yeah. I have to say, one thing I did think, I've never was like got Kathy Ireland particularly, but I was like, wow, her hair is so thick.
She's got
like a really nice thick head of hair. And I was jealous.
I bet she uses mane and tail shampoo.
Ooh, see, that's like that's the horse shampoo, right?
That's the horse shampoo, but like it's also for horse girls.
Absolutely.
Right?
Maybe
horse
I should
girls use that. I think she uses that shampoo. She's like trying to get him all horned up, but he's like not interested.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's not horny. We know he's horny.
Here's the problem with Jake. He has a really strong backbone for about a minute until a woman rubs her pussy against his dick.
He's too primal.
He's too primal.
He's gotta fuck.
I know.
That guy's gotta fuck.
He's gotta fuck or punch a wall.
And he, oh yeah. Or yeah,
at I'm not the same
gonna
time.
Go there. Can't go there.
She doesn't care though. This woman is not taking no for an answer. She's like, I'm staying on this boat with this guy.
Jake is so hot when he punches a wall, it's like a turn on and not scary. Like, it's like, it's a fine, you gotta be really.
It's a fine line.
It's a fine line. You know, but when what? He does it, I'm kind of like, okay. I'll take that pent up energy.
Let's be real. Anybody else ever punching a wall is disturbing and at best embarrassing.
Oh, it's completely disgusting.
It's awful. But Jake Hansen punching a wall, you're like, he's just got mom issues.
He needs help. He needs my help.
I can fix him.
He needs to break my back.
In Wisconsin, Allison and Meredith are talking to their family lawyer, Harry. And Harry has known these girls their entire lives. And so he's like, I'm inclined to believe whatever you tell me because I've known you your whole life and you're very nice girls. I know you wouldn't lie about anything. And he says, but it's going to be really tough to convince anyone in this town that your dad, the softball coach and whatever else he did some other stuff.
Not the owner of Parker Hardware.
Parker Hardware.
When he said that, I laughed. I was like, well, of course the owner of Parker Hardware.
Is the town molester.
Yeah.
They're going to have a hard time believing that. And he's just trying to give them like the cold, hard truth. And Meredith being Meredith is getting really frustrated and her eyes are welling up. And she just like wants to leave.
She's like, I knew it was a mistake to get on that plane.
Sounds just like her.
Yeah. And this guy, the lawyer, he's definitely, he's like trying to believe them, but he's also kind of like, just move on, girls. It's not worth the effort. Like, it is so frustrating.
Yeah, he's definitely like, are you sure you want to do this? Like, this is going to be I'm just letting you know, this is going to be a big pain in the ass. Like,
also, I've never seen people file charges this way. Why are they, like, don't you go to the police department? Why are they with a lawyer?
Maybe they're doing a civil.
Okay, maybe.
They're like filing a lawsuit, a civil suit.
Yeah, there's something about it that's, I guess it's not criminal. Yeah.
Because the statute of limitations, maybe?
Probably.
So they're filing it with their lawyer. Anyway, Meredith's getting all frustrated and Allison's like, listen, Harry, this happened. This happened. She's like, are you going to do what you said and help us?
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, it's not going to be easy. And Allison's like, we can handle it.
And Meredith's like, not me.
Honestly, Meredith's starting to piss me off in this moment.
Well, just if you're going to do it, do it. Once she came there, I get not doing it.
Right.
But just don't stop playing around, Meredith. Just fucking stand by your word. I'm sorry.
No, it's like I have all the empathy for Meredith in her situation, but she's a little bit of a whiner and it's starting to piss me off.
I just feel like it's unfair to Allison.
Yeah.
And normally I love that. But this case, it's like, come on.
Well, it's like, oh, there's an even whinier Parker sister and it's Meredith.
Yeah. Like you can respect her for saying, no, I don't feel like doing it.
But she's also older than Allison. And I feel like Meredith needs to be medicated.
Well, because like, yeah, I mean, we talked about this before. What's her deal? She just lives in a Victorian without
mansion.
A job or a husband. Like there's like, what's her life?
Something's really like, this needs to be investigated because there's something seriously fucked up about this person.
I just need to know how she exists.
How does she exist? What is her job? Not even a passing mention like, oh, she, you know, I have to call the office.
Yes. Or I can just take off. Like,
yeah.
How's she paying for her Victorian?
How is she paying for this house? And also, why is she like 35 years old and such a scared person still?
Yeah, I just want to know.
And why hasn't Allison been like, you need to get on medication and go see a therapist?
Yeah.
Anyway. That night at Shooters, Billy meets with Amanda because Amanda's going to try and get his help to secure this deal with Escapade magazine. And Billy's already irritated. He does not want to meet up with Amanda because he knows it's just going to be like a huge production.
Right.
With Amanda, it's always something.
I also find it hard to believe this would be a huge account.
Escapade?
Like, who's reading Escapade magazine?
Escapade magazine's like at the car dealership.
That is not a big account. What? It's not an international corporation. D&D, it's like, come on.
They had a way, the computer guy was a way bigger account.
That's a huge account. You expect me to believe they're desperate to get Escapade? Escapade's lucky to have D&D.
They really are. Like, is Escapade supposed to be like as big as GQ?
Also, do magazines have big advertising campaigns?
Is it okay?
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I was assuming it was like they put the ads in their magazine.
Oh, you're right. Sorry, I wasn't thinking about that. I was like, who? I was like, do magazines advertise in other magazines? Like, are commercials?
I feel like maybe D&D would be in charge of like getting their ads.
You're right. Or putting their clients together with Escapade or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Billy's like, Amanda, what kind of business do we even have together?
Yeah.
And she's like, if Escapade takes us as their new agency, that's going to be really good for Allison, Billy. And you're going to want that.
Yeah. And he's kind of like, okay.
That's all it takes.
But what do I have to do? Yeah.
He's so bad at this.
How is Amanda not absolutely disgusted sitting across from him?
You this used pathetic. To fuck this guy, Amanda.
She like fought for him.
She
fought Allison for Billy. Like, how embarrassing. How does she live with herself?
Yeah, but what does this have to do
what
with me?
What does it have to do with me? With my part in it.
He's so dumb. He figured out that that Allison was molested by her father in like 2 seconds, but this, he can't fucking
He can't figure it out. Okay. It's so stupid. The business scenes always crack me up because I'm like, these are written for dumbasses. Because even I'm like, come on, I can understand more than this. Like,
that's why I love them is because it's for truly.
It's truly.
It's because we could have written these.
This is... Honestly, I feel like I'd go a little bit harder. I'd come up with some more business terminology.
So Billy's like, well, you know, Nancy, she's a
pretty tough cookie. Does he say tough cookie? I can't remember. Well, it was something like that.
I have a typo in mind, so it looks like I tried to write something like that, but I don't know. Mine says Nancy's a tonight editor. So I'm a tough editor.
Maybe a tough editor.
And Amanda's like, that's okay. I have a plan. And then she takes a big sip of her like sangria.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck she was drinking. Kimberly made shrimp gumbo for Michael, which is apparently his favorite food.
That was an incredible detail. I don't know why I got real. I thought about that so long after she said it.
I was too.
Like, oh, Michael's favorite. Like, I was literally went through the whole process. I was like, I wonder where he had it. Like, I was literally going off. Like,
because they're from Chicago originally, him and Jane.
Right.
Right. So where did he originally, did he like take a boys trip to New Orleans and get shit faced and he barfed shrimp gumbo everywhere? That's what I think happened.
I was like, where did he have gumbo?
Jane didn't make
it. Did he have like good gumbo or does he like some crappy version? Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
he made it from a box of Zatarain's.
Yes, where it's just some kind of like, that's gumbo. And then you have real gumbo. You're like, oh,
that's gumbo.
That's different.
Because I could have sworn that in season one, Jane made Michael what she said was like his favorite food. And it was like, I made chicken tetrazzini, your favorite food or whatever.
Which makes sense.
Because he's Italian.
I need to know more about how Michael loves gumbo. Or was Kimberly just making it up because he has amnesia? She's like, I can tell him whatever he wants. I'm making gumbo. I'm going to act like it's his favorite food. Maybe it's Kimberly's favorite food.
This has so many layers.
Yeah.
This is why this is a brilliant show.
People have no idea.
They have no idea.
Wait, I love that Kimberly is making it up.
because she wants to make gumbo.
She's like, this is your favorite. She can completely make mold him at this point.
Yeah, she can design a boyfriend.
And he's like, really?
Oh, okay. Pretty good. Oh, gumbo. I like gumbo.
I love gumbo.
And he's
like, gee, how can I thank you? You've been so good to me.
Yeah.
Wow. We must have been a pretty good couple.
And he goes, I don't know how you can be so attracted to me. I look like, I got my bandage.
This needed more sinister music underneath it while this scene plays out.
Yeah, because they were trying to make it a little too heartwarming or something.
Right, but there's a really dark turn.
It gets really dark because Kimberly says, oh, Michael, I know what it's like to be an invalid. I was with this awful man once, and he got really drunk, and he got into an accident and left me disfigured. And he's like,
you look good to me.
And that's when Kimberly takes her wig off, and she starts crying, and she's like, look at me. And we see Kimberly's hair has grown in a little bit, but she's still got that big old giant scar.
I have questions.
Yeah.
Why hasn't her hair grown in more?
It seems like it should have grown in more.
I was curious as like, is her hair not growing? Because it's growing. I get maybe it doesn't grow by the scar, right? That might be done. But it seems like it should have grown longer. Also, it's different color. Doesn't it seem blonder to you than what her hair was? I mean, it's definitely blonder than the wig she's wearing.
Yeah. It's a little bit. It's like more strawberry, maybe.
I'm just curious why her hair is still so choppy and short.
It seems like a little too short.
Plus, no one's cut it because it's just growing in all weird. Like, no one's like, let me trim your hair for you.
Because she wants it to grow back out.
I know, but wouldn't you shape it up until it's growing out? Because right now it's like long on the bottom, choppy. It's just like you could at least shape that into a hairstyle.
Right.
Or something that when it grows in, it's not all weird.
I guess what I realized in this episode is that realizes how disfigured she is because there's no hair growing around the scar.
Right. So I can see though growing it long, it would cover it up more, obviously.
Yes.
I'm just curious what's going on there.
How much time has elapsed?
That's what I mean. Like, I think your hair grows probably like an inch or two per month.
Especially considering, okay, she was also in a coma in the hospital for a long time.
Yes, that's what I want to know, what's going on with her hair. Why is it still that way?
Why is it still short?
It shouldn't be this short. It should be like a bob. Like, it should be longer.
It totally should be a bob. It should even be a lob. It should be like almost back to normal.
I'm just very confused why her hair is still short like that. I get like lifting your hair up and showing the scar. I just think it would have grown in more.
This is what we need. We need one scene where she's at her hairstylist and the hairstylist is like, look, I mean, your hair is like permanently damaged.
Or her going, no, chop it. Uglier. Because she wants to make it look horrible, right?
Right. Because it's sort of like a Munchausen thing.
Yes.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, she starts crying and Michael's like, you're beautiful. And then he starts kissing her and we get some very steamy guitar music. And it's really hard to tell if Kimberly lets out a little smirk or not.
Yeah, I don't know what she's up to at this point.
It's not clear.
Because I will say this, she loves fucking Michael. Despite how much she hates him, she's like, kiss my scar. Mm. Like, she liked that. And she's like, fucking wet.
Yeah, she's ready to go.
She's ready to go when he kisses her scar.
Let's take a quick break here, and we'll be right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
The next day, Amanda brings Jake what looks like a gift basket, but it's like a picnic basket. But it looked like a gift basket.
She like went to Jones on 3rd and got like bought like $100 picnic lunch.
Yeah.
That came in its own basket. But you could also give it to someone as a little gift.
It looked like, yeah, it looked like a picnic basket you picked up at a specialty store you could gift someone.
Yeah. It's like, oh, look how cute. It came in a picnic basket. And it's like wine, cheese, olives, and like crackers.
And like a expensive bag of candied nuts.
Yes.
This is not a lunch that Jake wants to eat.
I mean, come on, Amanda.
What is she thinking?
You gotta bring him like a sub.
This is what I mean by Amanda just being culturally so different from Jake and people in their 20s.
Right, because she's not even like, I love to put on some jeans and go get a burger. No, like, she's like not even that, where it's like, this is so fun. I love Jake because we go get burgers. Like, right. Do you know what I mean? She doesn't even have that rich person. Like, I love getting real. Like,
right. She doesn't even put on airs about that. Just get the guy a sandwich.
She could have brought two sandwiches. This looked hot eating it.
Right. No, but this is crazy. She's like, I brought you some prosciutto.
Like, what about Jake's has picnic?
Nothing.
He does not do picnic.
He's going to throw that basket into the water.
He's going to use it as a crab trap.
Well, Jake's not on the boat, but Brittany is. Oof. And she answers the door in a tank top and no bra. And she's like, oh, hi, I'm Brittany. And Amanda is shook.
This is not good.
This is not good at all.
Because they just broke up because Jake's not feeling relationships.
But suddenly there's this some bimbo on his boat.
I was kind of shocked Amanda showed up.
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah.
Because he did break up with her.
And she's in the mode where she's like, I don't care about you. She's got to pretend she's not hurt.
Yeah. And Amanda's like turns to leave. And Brittany's like, can I leave him a message? And Amanda says, yeah, tell him he's a lying pig.
And Brittany is like clueless.
She's no idea what any of this drama is.
She's like, okay. I love her thinking of her. Hey, this woman stopped by. She said to tell you you're a lying pig. Like, doesn't she? She doesn't think to herself, oh, that might be his girlfriend.
Yeah.
I'm like fucking things up for him.
Yeah.
She doesn't try to explain anything. Like, he let me stay out because my husband tried to beat me up.
No, because Brittany sucks.
No, she sucks.
Back at the jail, guess who's the one person to visit Sydney?
Well, it's Matt. You guess something else? You're wrong. It's Matt.
Matt is the only person. Sydney managed to guilt Matt into visiting her at the jail. And Sydney's like, oh my God, Matt, thank you so much for coming down here. I can't believe it. You're like, I knew it. I knew you'd be the only one who'd believe me. And he goes, why? Because you think I'm gullible?
I love when Matt breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah.
To say what we all know about his character.
Because Matt, this is a very relatable thing about Matt. If you're like a people pleaser, where he's reached the point where he's ready to blow his top any minute, but he still hasn't broken his habit of letting people treat him like a doormat. Like right. he still is like, doesn't have good boundaries.
No. And he's always like talking about himself in the third person. He's like, here's the dumbass going to pick up the person at the airport again, even though it's the middle of rush hour traffic.
Right.
It's me, the dumbass. Like, it's just like they berate themselves about it, but they continue to do it.
Because he's self-aware. He is the probably the most self-aware person at Melrose Place.
But it doesn't help him.
It doesn't help him because he's also self-loathing. And he knows. He knows he's like the only good person in this entire cast.
We need to take Matt out and go have a good old time. Because he needs friends who are fun and don't use him.
And I get it. Like, this doesn't make Matt a bad person. He's just stuck in this cycle.
He's not a bad person. He's his own worst enemy. He's hurting no one but himself.
Yeah. So that did make me laugh out loud.
I laughed too.
It's like, why? Because I'm gullible.
And he, honestly, the actor reads these lines so perfectly. And it's like, he's feeling it too.
Oh, Doug Savant is brilliant.
Yeah.
He's so brilliant as Matt. And it's just perfect. And Sydney's like, come on, Matt. You know how twisted Kimberly and Michael are. And he's like, you know, Sydney, I do find it hard to believe that you didn't have anything to do with this.
Yeah.
He doesn't believe her.
Sydney needs to recognize that it does look bad. Do you know what I mean? Like, she needs to be like, yeah, of course, like, I am someone who might run Michael down.
Like, but I really didn't do it.
Yeah, I get it. Why you would all think that.
Right.
It and does seem like it's me.
She is begging him for help, and he's like, I don't know about this. And she's like, I know it's Kimberly.
He's literally like, why am I here even? Like, I don't even know why I'm here. I'm not going to help you. I'm trying to figure out why I'm here to begin with. Like, how did you con me into this?
At Jane Mancini Designs.
Ugh, I hate her. When I see her sign,
so bad.
It's like, why is it's like the one where her name is print, but then the last name is cursive.
Okay, I took a picture of it.
It's just like the one cursive name is so stupid.
Okay, no. Her name is cursive.
Okay.
But Mancini Designs is in print.
Print.
But her name is not only cursive, but at a diagonal. So it's like a little festive. And then it has her like phone number at the bottom.
Right. Huge. Right, because it's Jane. I knew there was like one cursive word. It's like, that's not a design. That's not a design just to make one cursive.
It looks so dumb.
It's very cheap.
Jane Mancini Designs. She's at her shop. We get this little bullshit scene with the Aussie, Chris. I figured out his name this episode.
Me too. I wrote down the Australian and then I was like, oh, Chris. Because someone finally said it.
I feel like they haven't said his name like since the first time we meet him.
No, I literally wrote down the Australian guy and then went back and put Chris.
Me too. He's like really horny for Jane at work. He's like, I can't keep kissing your neck.
He's too horny. He's disgusting.
He's so horny for her. And she's like, oh.
Because I think obviously Jane is very beautiful.
Yes.
But she's not exactly someone you get horny for.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, no. You get horny for Amanda.
Yes. Like, there's nothing about Jane where you can't keep your hands off of her in public places. Because she just doesn't have that vibe. She might be that way behind the closed doors or whatever. She doesn't strike me as someone who would be into that.
She's a little too prim.
Yes.
She's a little too prim. And she's like giggling. And then Jane's dad stops by.
Yeah, because she's like, dad? And so I was like, who's that? And then she's like, dad. I was like, what's he doing there?
He stops by and he's there because of Sydney. Because Sydney's in jail, and he's really bummed out about Sydney.
He can't believe he has an amoral daughter.
Yeah, he says like, he says that. He says, I couldn't accept that my daughter had become so amoral. But he's like, well, I did get her an attorney.
No, this is so sad, and you can see why Sydney is the way she is. Because it's truly like, well, she's my daughter. Like, what up? What, I have to do this. you know what I mean? Thank God you turned out okay.
But you can see the dynamic in the way that Sydney and Jane's dad talks to Jane and how he kind of demoralizes Sydney even behind her back and talks down about her, how he's like, she's inherently, he doesn't say this, but he's basically insinuating she's inherently broken and has been since day one. And that, well, Jane, you were always perfect.
Right. And he's like, I truly wish I could abandon Sydney, but
I guess she's my daughter.
She's blood. So I got to deal with it.
Yeah. He's like very irritated.
Yeah.
That he has to deal
he's
with
over
this.
Over her.
Matt shows up at the beach house. Once again, okay, so Matt went from downtown LA, where the jail is.
Right.
To driving to Malibu to the beach house.
For what? To visit someone who literally has blackmailed him and tried to ruin his life.
He doesn't owe these people anything.
Why is he going to, like, I see visiting him at the hospital.
Yeah.
But to drive?
He drives all the way to the beach house and he's calling out for Michael. And Michael is like snoozing. He's taking a little nap. And then Michael wakes up and he sees Matt and he's like, can I help you? He doesn't remember Matt.
And Matt literally walks into Michael's house and he's like, Michael.
Michael.
And walks into his bedroom.
And Matt's just like, and Michael's like, oh, hey, can I help you?
I was taking a nap.
he's like, I don't remember you. I know your name is Matt. And he says, but Kimberly told me your name was Matt, but she said we weren't that close.
And Matt is like shaken.
He's like, we were pretty close, Michael.
We have a long history.
Right.
You tried to ruin my life for a very long time. Yeah. Remember, I changed the blood alcohol for you.
We've actually known each other for a very long time. We have quite the history. And Michael's like,
I only remember waking up at the hospital and Kimberly was there. We must have been such a good couple.
And Matt's like, wait a minute. She didn't tell you what happened? She didn't tell you about the accident? And that's when Kimberly interrupts. She walks through the door and she's like, Matt, what are you doing here? Let me escort you out. She makes him leave.
Yeah, she's like, we need to give Michael some space, you bitch. And she's so seething.
And on the way out, she's like, don't ever come back here without consulting me first, without telling me first.
Right. I mean, she's not doing a great job of like not making people suspicious, in my opinion.
No. This was really suspicious. She says, don't come back unless you talk to me first. Bye now. And then Matt's like,
And this was a very easy situation for her to be like, I'm so sorry. I know you're concerned about Michael. But he's really having trouble. And they don't want me to remind him of things that are traumatic just yet. I do plan on telling him about the accident. It's just not right now. Like, she could have done it in a way where Matt would have been like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it does make sense. What are you going to be like? Remember when you almost killed me, like day one of amnesia? I'm sorry. There's a protocol. You start with simple things.
Honestly, she could have played this off so much better, but she's like only making herself look suspicious. So Sydney meets with her lawyer and her dad and Jane. They're all there at the jail.
Right.
And she's really excited to see her dad. She's like, Dad! And the lawyer breaks the news to Sydney that they're not letting her get out on bail. Like, they were revoked bail because they think she's too much of a flight risk.
Right. And Sydney truly thinks that because the dad hired a lawyer, he believes her.
Right.
It's really sad.
Instead of it just being like, everyone needs a lawyer.
Right.
And so the dad is like, look, Sydney, the case against you is really strong. They want you to plead guilty. And she's like, you think I did it? And he's like, furious. She's furious.
Yeah.
And she's like, this is all about Jane, isn't it? You got Jane. Everyone's throwing me away. Maybe I should have killed him. Maybe I should kill you. I should blow your head off.
She really takes it too far.
Well, the lawyer should have been like, Sydney, shh.
I should blow your, when she's, what if I kill you too? Fine. I'll give her that. Cause right. She's pissed. But when she's like, I'll blow your head off. It's like, okay, where did that come from?
And she took it a little too far. Allison and Meredith are in Wisconsin. They're at a motel and they're getting ready for the hearing. And there's a knock at the door.
Ugh.
Surprise. It's their frumpy mom.
Yeah.
And she's like, girls, I need to talk to you both. Stop this, please.
I like when she sees Meredith initially and she's like, been a while. It was just so crazy. I was just like, oh God, this woman.
This has got to be one of the worst moms.
Yeah.
She is.
Hey, Meredith. Been a while.
When she's not being totally pathetic and useless, she's being outright monstrous.
She's a monster.
She's awful. And she's begging the girls to not go through with this. She's like, I'm your mother.
Yeah.
She was like, why can't you just forgive? Get on with your lives. But Allison's like, no, mom, we're not going to do that.
You're covering your parents with filth.
She said, shut. And Allison's like, mom, it's not an attack. It's the truth. And the mom is losing it. And she's like, you're pathetic. And then she starts mocking them. And she's like, all of a sudden it just goes so beyond. She's like, I wish I never had you. I wish you'd never been born.
Yeah. She gets pure evil.
This is like so over the top.
Yeah.
At Escapade Magazine, Billy's in a bad mood and Amanda calls and she's looking through a report that Billy typed up for her. And it's still unclear what's happening here.
Yeah. What's the report?
Well, we'll find out later in the episode, but she's like, I'm really impressed with this report you wrote me, Billy, but there's still a few more things I need you to do.
Yeah. Can you?
And he's like, Amanda, I can't do that, Amanda.
I've got a job. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's up to you now.
And he's like, no. And he hangs up on her. At Jane's shop, Dad is there. And he's like, well, I looked into a psych hospital for your sister. And it looks like we're going to take her in for an evaluation. Jane is like really stressed out. And he's like, we need your signature. They need two signatures to get her involuntarily committed.
I was like, is that true?
They want a 5150 Sydney.
And in their minds, it's better than going to jail or prison.
Right. But then like, who knows how long Sydney could be incarcerated in the hospital.
Well, and that's not necessarily always a great place to be either.
Right.
You don't know.
Right. So Jane is like very teary-eyed about it, but she eventually agrees. And Dad is like, well, at least Sydney can get help now.
Yeah, we've done a good thing.
We've done enough.
Let's go, favorite daughter.
At the hearing, the girls are waiting outside of the judge's chambers. I don't know where, or the courtroom. They're just like just meeting one, like both parties are meeting one-on-one with the judge.
This seems very sus.
This is really sus. This is a fake hearing.
It's like, yeah, it's outside the law.
It seems really outside the law. They're just like each meeting one-on-one with the lawyer. So the girls are waiting, or the judge, the girls are waiting for their turn to talk to the judge. And they're really nervous. And their lawyer's trying to like, you know, console them. He's like, Judge Thomas, he's a very fair man. And that's when the door opens and we see Allison's parents walking out and the mom is crying and the judge is like, they're there. Oh, we're going to get this whole thing sorted out.
Yeah, they're all like besties.
They're all besties.
And the judge is the evil real estate guy from Poltergeist.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, he's untrustworthy.
You know, he's a bad guy. Well, Meredith freaks out upon seeing the judge cozying up to her parents. And she goes, this town is a joke. And Allison's like, they have to believe us. And Meredith's like, I can't do this. I'm out of here. She flips out. She's like, this whole thing is a setup. Judge Thomas got Dad into the country club.
They're just realizing that.
Yeah. Sorry. They're like, wait, this town's really corrupt.
Yeah.
So she literally runs away. Like, she runs out of the courtroom or the courthouse.
Yeah. And Allison's like, well, there goes my witness, my corroborating witness.
Yeah. Allison realizes she's fucked. That night, Allison and the lawyer, they have pie at a diner. And she's like, you've known me since I was a kid, Harry. Do you believe me? And he does. He's like, yeah, I do. But with your sister gone, it's just going to be your word against his. There goes our case.
Yeah. So sorry, hon.
And he's like, just go home. Yeah. Just forget this whole thing ever happened.
You tried.
You tried your best. Didn't work out. The next day at Escapade, Billy's boss, Nancy, confronts him and is like, oh, Billy, just want to let you know we're with D&D now. And Billy's pretending to be surprised. He's like, oh, really? Ooh. That's new information. But Nancy's pissed. She's like, you know, I was telling Amanda how impressed I was with the copy and the presentation. Thought she really knew her subject. Then she told me you wrote it.
Why did Amanda do that?
That's really fucked up.
It's just so weird.
Did she want Billy to be poached for D&D? Like, were they trying to poach him?
It seems like she had this plan, but they never set it up that that's what she was doing.
No, that's why none of this was ever clear. Because usually Melrose Place doesn't keep the audience this in the dark about a plan.
I feel like, wasn't there another episode where something was missing and we found out later it was cut or something? Or
yeah.
Or was it in the right order or something? Because this seems like, because we'll see later on her reaction and she's like happy, like, we'll work for us, right? Like, do you know what yes. I mean? It's kind of like, it just seemed like she had this, her, remember earlier, she's like, I have a plan.
Yes.
But why is this her plan? To get Billy back. Like, what is she doing?
It also just seems like such a complicated way to make this happen.
Right. She doesn't know that this would have worked.
Right. So basically, Nancy is pissed that Billy helped Amanda write a pitch and like told Amanda company secrets or whatever, or just information about Escapade.
But isn't the weird thing that after knowing this, she still hired them?
To be their ad agency?
Yes.
Yeah, that's weird.
Because wouldn't she be like, and you're I'm not hiring them either. So you fucked it up for both of us. Like, she hired D&D.
So it's like, why are you mad? Why are you mad then? It's very weird. So, but she's like, Billy, you're fired. And Billy is like, huh?
Great. I mean, I didn't even know Billy still worked there. We haven't seen Escapade in a very long time.
You haven't. Meanwhile, Brittany is snooping around on Jake's boat. She's looking through cabinets. She's like feeling up the
she's like
underneath
the cat
tape.
When a cat sticks their paw under something.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, feeling stuff up. We don't even know what she's looking for, but Jake comes back and he's pissed off at her. He's like, Amanda's mad at me. She's got an earful back at the apartment complex.
Did he go back to the car? Like, what? What was he doing? Because didn't she say he was like fueling up the something or other or paying the dues at the dock or something?
Where was he?
Yeah. Why did he go back to the apartment?
He's like, you need to get out of here. He like tries to kick her out. But she's not taking no for an answer. And he keeps telling her, like, get the fuck off my boat. And she starts to rub herself up against his dick. And he falls for it.
Finally. She gets him.
She gets him. They start making out. The sexy guitar music is playing. He takes his shirt off. He takes her shirt off.
When he takes his shirt off, I was excited. Mm. I was like, okay, he's going for
it. He's going for
it. And he's mad. He's like, fine, I'll fuck you. He's like mad about it.
But you know it's going to be so good. You know it's going to be good.
He's a good fuck. You know Jake can do it.
He can fuck the best out of anybody on Melrose Place.
100%.
Yeah.
He's the best.
He's the best one. Back at D&D, Billy storms into the office to yell at Amanda. But Bruce interrupts him and offers him a job.
He's like, this copy was amazing. It's just like, seriously, don't buy it.
He's like, how would you like to be our senior copywriter? And Billy's like, wait a second. Are you offering me a job?
And he's instantly happy.
Yeah. His mood changes immediately.
Like, and Bruce is like, and it's way more money than what you were getting at Escapade. It's like, okay. But why would Billy be happy about this?
Wouldn't he be like, you just turned my life upside down?
Also, Billy wants to be a writer, like write features. He doesn't want to write ad copy.
Yeah, there goes his career.
This is crazy. Amanda's like, see, my plan
worked. It all worked out. Allison's in a cab heading to the airport, but she tells the driver, we just need to make a stop. And this is not a stop for, like, I need to stop at 7-Eleven to get a pack of cigarettes. This is, like, this is a little more than, you should have, like, called, you should have had the cab drop you off and then called another cab.
Because she's like, take me to 312 Elm Street or whatever it was.
Yeah, she says, take me to 424 Elm Street. And when we get to 424 Elm Street, is a big old barbecue at the Parker House. Dad, molester dad, is wearing a Kiss the Cook apron.
He's flipping ribs.
He's flipping ribs and he's schmoozing with the judge. Judge Thomas is
literally there getting his ribs. He likes them burnt.
He likes them burnt to a crisp. And we see Allison and she marches over to her dad.
Literally everyone in town is there.
The whole town.
All the old people are there.
They're all old.
Yeah.
There is not a single young person at this barbecue.
No.
And it is like, this is a huge backyard, too.
And they're really trying to be like, the dad is like the favorite of the town. He's like, come on, guys, the ribs are cooking. My dad's Parker's famous ribs. And everyone's like, oh, this is the loveliest backyard barbecue. But they're just all having the best old time. They have rented little tables, those little circle tables with the tablecloths.
Everyone's wearing pastel. Yeah,
it is a huge event.
It's a huge Parker barbecue. And the dad is like in shock when he sees his little Allison marching towards him out of nowhere. And she says, I know you think you've beaten me, Dad, but you'll always know what you did. And he's like, shut up. He's like, shut up. So
I mean, he is a monster, but I will laugh when he tells Allison to shut up because he's so mean to her.
He's so mean to her. He's like, be quiet. Like, I'm having a barbecue here. Like, stop.
This man has no shame. Like, if I would be like, can we talk about this later, please? This is my big barbecue. Like, he's just antagonistic from the get-go.
He's just like, you little bitch, shut the fuck up. I'm having a barbecue here.
God damn it. God damn it. I regret molesting you. You're ruining my life.
And Allison starts... The mom sees that Allison's there, and she's like, Allison, I think you should leave.
And the judge is like... looking.
Yeah, the judge is like, what's going on here? And mom and dad are pissed that she's there. And then Allison starts raising her voice. And she goes, what are you going to do? Hit me? Or are you going to take me down to the basement again?
And everyone's like,
yeah, we see like people start to kind of stare. And there's like a little ruffling.
Yeah, rustling. The talking stops.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, whoa, this is juicy.
I would love to be at this barbecue.
I would be like eating my fucking hot dog real quietly, like just kind of like slowly.
I can just imagine if we were at this barbecue together, we'd both be in the back like squeezing, like digging each other's nails into each other's hands. Like, oh my God, like I'm going to pee in my pants right now.
But like I would eat a chip, try to eat a chip quietly.
Yeah, it was a little too loud. I would be pissing my pants if I saw this happen
it's at a crazy barbecue.
And they're like just trying to get Allison out of there before she causes a total scene. And Allison, like they realize that everyone's staring at them. And she goes, look, everybody's watching now.
The secret's out.
The secret's out.
And the dad truly goes off the rails here. Like it's like, cause the mom's literally like, shut up. Because he's starting to basically reveal the truth.
Yeah, the dad just like starts to admit things. He loses it. He like completely snaps and he goes, what do you want me to do? And then the mom is like, shut up. And he snaps at the mom. And he
this fucking, is crazy.
He goes, He says to the mom, "It's your fault. You hated my touch. So I went to my daughter's.
What else could I do? You were so cold. You recoiled at my touch. I just needed to touch something warm. And my daughters were right there." I've never heard this excuse said out loud before.
This is crazy. Who wrote this?
And all the while he's wearing a Kiss the Cook apron. Yeah. And I was like, this is truly a stroke of genius.
Yeah.
That this apron is on him during this hugely horrible, dark soliloquy.
Yeah.
About how it's the wife's fault
that he molested his daughters
because she wouldn't fuck him. This is crazy.
And then he says to Allison, he says, "All you had to do was touch me. I never hurt you."
I wanted to faint during this scene. I was like, I cannot believe this is on television. And it was crazy.
At this point, the guests turn around and start to leave. And then he turns on the guests.
Yeah.
Then he starts yelling. He's like, "Fine, leave. Why don't you?
She was cold." I said she was cold. What was I supposed to do?
He's losing it. And then Allison's like, she's triumphant. She's like, "That's right."
I love this for Allison. This is way better than a court hearing. Mm. To ruin him in the public eye, he has to deal with all those ribs. What is he going to do with all this food?
What's he going to do with all those ribs?
He is fucked. Now he even turned on his only supporter, his wife.
Right.
Who, even if she's cold, was the only person standing up for him.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to go on with them?
This is the best way this could have ended.
And that's what I was thinking with Allison. I was like, just fucking ruin him publicly.
This is real justice.
Absolutely.
This is way better justice than a painful court proceeding.
With like no jail time probably.
Yeah.
Or very minimal.
Right.
And it's like, this is the same thing. He just ruined his life.
Yeah.
And your mom's. That's like the double icing whammy. On the cake.
A double whammy. Anyway. Cut to Palmer. Palmer Woodward.
He's smoking a cigar.
He's back.
Yeah. Because remember, the FBI got him because of Jake turning him in.
Jake wore a wire.
And he escaped. He like left town. He split.
Palmer met up with Amanda and was like, "Sweetie, I gotta leave town.
I'm innocent.
Yeah, they say a lot of bad things about me, but I'm innocent and I gotta go on a lam." she thinks he's great. So we cut to Palmer smoking a cigar, standing at the top of a hill at night. And we see Brittany pull up in her car. So Brittany's working for Palmer Woodward. And she says, "I finally got him to sleep with me. I think he's beginning to trust me." And Palmer goes, "Good. I'm going to make Jake Hansen so sorry he ever messed with me or my little Amanda."
I love that he had to say that out loud. It's like,
we know.
We know what's happening. But we got to get the full villain statement from him.
Oh, it was perfect.
And to be honest, I really got mad here because I was like, Jake, you could have really foiled them by not fucking Brittany. Like, all you had to do was not fuck him. It would have ruined their plan. They would have had to come up with a backup.
He's so dumb. This is very sad. The next scene, Sydney thinks she's getting out of jail.
Sydney.
She's like in her little cute dress. And she's like, "Oh boy, where are we going?"
She's so innocent still.
She's a lamb getting led to slaughter.
How is she so innocent still? It's really wild because she's done some fucked up shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, "Where are we going? Where are we headed?" She gets put into a straitjacket instead.
Which is like, I was like, did that still happen?
Yeah. But I just didn't. I don't know if it goes down exactly like that straight from jail where you're just like immediately put into a straitjacket.
No, because they probably take people willingly sometimes or even like, "Okay, I'm going." Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's usually what they save for when someone's like, I think. I mean, I know they use it in horrible ways as well, but like you'd think they'd only bring it out if they had to, right?
Yeah, you'd think.
But they definitely wanted to have it on TV for the show.
It's very dramatic. It's a very dramatic scene because Sydney is put into a straitjacket and she is like writhing.
Yeah, screaming.
Screaming, "Daddy, daddy, daddy, I'm not crazy."
Yeah.
Ugh, it's just awful.
And Jane's there too.
And Jane.
It's got to kill Sydney. Ugh, have Jane watching.
I'd be so embarrassed.
Poor Sydney.
I mean, Sydney really did get the short end of the stick.
The thing with Sydney is she does a lot to fuck herself over. She also does have incredibly bad luck. Do you know what I mean?
Like, it's a combination of both because she does set the ball rolling often and she does place herself in these positions. But she also has a lot of people who take advantage of her. And I do think that she probably had a rough childhood. And I definitely believe that her parents growing up constantly were way nicer to Jane. And like
they favored her.
They favored her. Like,
openly.
Openly. And I don't think that that's like a conspiracy theory that she made up in her head.
I don't think it is. And I think her notice of that made her act out more and just exasperated the favoritism.
Right. Because she's like, well, fuck you guys.
Or just acting out to get more attention. That was her only way to get the attention, like negatively.
Yeah.
But I love Sydney.
I love Sydney too. She's like one of my favorite characters.
It just sucks that you kind of want her to always win, but she's not quite devious enough. That's her problem. She doesn't go full out because like her love of Michael did fuck her over in this instance.
Yes.
If she had just kind of like whatever.
Because she's, yeah. Yeah.
Like she truly loves Michael.
She's loved him since she was a teenager.
So it's like her good side is what keeps her from being a true out and out villain. But that's also what fucks her over.
Yeah.
Because like Michael doesn't have these issues because he's truly an out and out villain.
And he's no a regrets. Sociopath. Like he doesn't care.
She's actually has this good side that ends up fucking her over, unfortunately.
Right.
Because
she can't win. She can't win.
Poor Sydney.
Ugh. Anyway, we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
We're excited.
We are.
We'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.